On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this is Bob Keebler, and welcome to our analysis of Private Letter Ruling 2011-23048. This private letter ruling deals with the service denying the 60-day rollover treatment for the spouse of an individual who died in the middle of executing a qualified rollover. Before we jump into this ruling, what I'd like to do is provide some background and then subsequently go through the other seven rulings that have addressed this particular issue of a rollover subsequent to a person's death. Now, let's start with the general exception to the 60-day rule. When most of us learned the rule, the 60-day rule was cast in stone. That was the rule, and there were no exceptions. Then Congress came along, and they added to the law a statute, 408D3I, which gives the Secretary of the Treasury the ability to waive the 60-day rule, where now, even if you do not accomplish your rollover within 60 days, you can get back in the game by asking the government for relief. Now, probably 100-plus rulings have been issued in this area. We've been involved in many of them, and the service has vacillated a little bit on their exact position, but this marks kind of a big change, and that's why it's so important to talk about it. Now, if you look at the statute, what the law says is, quote, the Secretary may waive the 60-day requirement under paragraphs parens A and D, where failure to waive, this is the important part, such a requirement would be against equity or good conscience, including casualty, disaster, or other events beyond the reasonable control of the individual subject to such requirement. Now, when the IRS issued a notice, they defined this broader to include death, disability, incarceration. So let's jump into this. Now, there have been seven rulings issued that have addressed rollovers subsequent to a person's death. In four of these rulings, they've been favorable. In three of the rulings, they have not been favorable. The exception to the 60-day rule, you have to understand that you have to go to Revenue Proc 2003-16. The revenue proc reads, the IRS will consider all relevant facts and circumstances, including errors committed by a financial institution, the inability to complete a rollover due to death, disability, hospitalization, incarceration, restrictions imposed by a foreign country or postal error, the use of the amount distributed, and the time lapsed since the distribution occurred. Now, clearly, we did not have a problem with time. The amount was not utilized. The person died, and there was obviously no error by a financial institution. Now, the IRS has granted 60-day rollover relief, like I mentioned before, probably over 100 times. And basically, whether it's a failure to accomplish the rollover because of the financial institution, a medical condition, taxpayer being distraught over the death of their spouse, kind of runs the gambit. The misappropriation of funds, when you look at this, basically, it's important to understand that the IRS is narrowing their generosity on these issues. Now, in the past, the IRS has denied 60-day rollover treatment on many occasions, including where the taxpayer was using the money as short-term loans, where they used the money for personal expenses, where there was no intention to do a rollover, and then all of a sudden there was some type of epiphany that occurred after the 60-day period of time. What about just simply not understanding the rules? The IRS will not grant relief. Or if you had the ability to redeposit the funds and you simply didn't do it, the IRS will not grant relief. We have all these rulings laid out. Now, rollover of IRA subsequent to lawsuit proceeds, again, somebody sues their brokerage firm, they get the money back later, the IRS will allow you to roll that over. Now let's focus myopically on 2011-23048 and ask yourself, why is this so important? What happened in this ruling is the taxpayer retired, and unbeknownst to the taxpayer, according to the ruling, the plan had a cash-out provision that mandated complete distribution of plan assets upon the taxpayer reaching age 65. So the taxpayer, they call him B in the ruling, taxpayer B, receives a check and starts to make arrangements to deposit the check. In the meantime, the money is deposited into a joint account with his spouse, taxpayer A. Now, gentleman gets sick and he dies. And his wife now goes to the government and says, can I roll this over? And specifically, she requested a ruling that the Internal Revenue Service waive the 60-day rollover requirement It's important to understand precisely what she requested. She did not request that she could roll this into an IRA in her husband's name, but the heart of the matter is she requested that she could roll it into an IRA in her name. So more or less a spousal rollover IRA. The government went through extensive detail. I was reading the ruling, and I'm thinking this is fairly typical. And they basically went through the law in this area. Then they write, the information presented in the documentation submitted by the taxpayer is consistent with her assertion that the taxpayer's failure to accomplish a timely rollover was caused by the death of the taxpayer. Then in what appeared to me to come out of nowhere, they write, taxpayer is precluded from rolling the funds over into a tax-deferred amount in her name under Section 402, paren C9 of the code. And that is exactly the right result, okay? That is the right result, that the spouse cannot do a rollover into her name when you read the statutory framework. However, in talking to my colleague Michelle Ward about this, it appeared to both Michelle and I that we would approach this perhaps slightly different. And we don't know the facts firsthand. But we might have gone to the service after this denial and said, what about simply rolling it into his name and then let the pieces fall from there? And what probably would have happened is the IRA, the funds would have gone into an IRA. The IRA custodial agreement would have defaulted to paying the IRA either to the spouse where a rollover might have been available, or alternatively would have paid the IRA to his estate. And perhaps his wife could have reached into his estate and rolled it over. Now, remember, there are four rulings before, all in 2005, 2010, 11, and 2007, where they allowed a post-mortem rollover. It appears that several of those involved a situation where an IRA had not been established prior to death, and two of those involved a situation where there already was an existing IRA, and they simply rolled the new funds into the existing IRA. Now, on the other hand, there were three denials. The denials were a situation where the IRS denied the rollover of the 60A requirement where failure was due to the taxpayer's death, and the IRS did not allow the surviving spouse to complete a rollover. And then there's another denial, private letter ruling 2007-35-029, where the IRS declined to waive the 60A requirement where the taxpayer could have but failed to take corrective action. And finally, in 2011-14-044, the IRS denied the waiver of the 60A requirement after the death of the taxpayer, where the information did not reveal that he or she was the executor who had a durable power of attorney intended to roll the funds over. So there was no intention. So you can see that if there's no intention, the IRS is not going to give you this ruling. However, the service here acknowledged the intention, and that's why this ruling makes no sense to us. We understand that the spouse could not roll it into her own name. However, what we're perplexed by is that the service didn't back up and help to get the IRA back into the gentleman's name, which almost certainly would have given a better result than having to pay all the income tax on a large amount in 1 year. Obviously, this is a very complex area. I think the moral of the story is if you have this situation, you're going to want to read these rulings. I will give you the cites very quickly here. The cite for the ruling in question, of course, is 2011-23-048. The four rulings where the service approved a post-mortem rollover were 2005-02-050, 2010-44-036, 2011-21-035, 2007-42-027. The three denials, 2005-47-024, 2007-35-029, 2011-14-044. Again, this would just give you a feel for this. Now, I do not believe that one bad ruling here means a complete change in the service's position. However, if you have this situation, you need to go to the service with alternative thoughts in mind. If they say no, you have to have a way to react to their denial with an alternative. Can we do this? Can you help us? Do you have any other ideas? Those are the questions when we're doing these rulings that we continually have to ask and have to reach out to the service for help on what ideas they might have in these situations. So we're very disappointed in this ruling, clearly. The Service undoubtedly could have done more to help this taxpayer. On behalf of Lineberg Information Services, this has been Bob Keebler discussing Private Letter Ruling 2011-23048.